Poe before the committee this morning at Bow 31D, which is the Bow reflecting the amendments that were effected by the Select Committee of the National Council of Science. All those amendments are separately set out in one of the documents that we've made available this morning, which is Bow 31C. And then Bow 31D, as we all know better than I do, is the Bow incorporating those amendments that we see separately in this Bow. A third document has been made available. It's simply a single pager. The heading of the document, the top of the page, says National Gambling Act 2004. This is an extract of Section 15 of Principal Act, or the current National Gambling Act, which is the act that stands to be amended by this bill. So when we reflect on this document, we will be looking at existing or current law as it applies in respect of advertising on gambling in general. A fourth document has been made available, the heading reading report to the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry. What this document does is just for the sake of proper perspective, setting out all the amendments that we find in the CBO, those affected by the Select Committee. And then in the right column, we have a comment or a response that has been noted by the department, explaining the motivation for those amendments. Chair, please allow me, I need to take rid of my jacket, if you would allow.
You heard what I will give you up.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, and I think we also need, in fairness, to point out that at the previous meeting, for some reason or the other, we dealt with only one of the amendments reflected in the CBOL. And that is the amendment that we find on page 3 of the CBOL, dealing with section 50 of the Principal Act that we find in that single page, dealing with the aspects of advertising in respect of interactive gambling, as opposed to all the other forms of gambling. We're in your hands, Chair. If we are all in agreement that is the only amendment that we dealt with during the previous meeting, would it be fair this morning that we start right at the outset with all the amendments and put all the amendments to the committee to reflect on, including, of course, once again, the amendment in respect of Section 15? Would that be fair, Chair?
Yes. I think that's true, that just part of the concession issue. Even though that's already there. I mean, this document states that on the left hand side, there's a line of amendments that you agreed upon already. And then we move to Section 15. It was a question of a depression of mind, but couldn't we just move on? I mean, I don't see the sense of us going back to those that we agreed upon, Chair.
Chair, that would make it easier for us. I would then simply latch on to Section 15 again. That amendment is on page 3 of the CBO, and it relates then to Section 15 as we find it in the Principal Act. Chair, at our previous meeting, I think we've done our utmost on the part of the department to deal as comprehensively as possible with the legal position as we see in the technical center. And I wouldn't like to repeat all those arguments again. Save or say that subsequent to that meeting, and almost at the request, not almost at the request of this honorable committee, we got together with the Office of the Chief Statutory Advisor, Mr. Quetta Mongameli is in attendance this morning. we had a specific consultation on this. There was also a discussion taking place with Ms. Koleka Peja, who is with a parliamentary legal advisor. So we got together, and needless to say, at a later stage, Mr. Mongameli would like to avail of the opportunity to state the case on the possible special advisor. I would, however, like to, if it's possible, to add some different perspective to our discussion this morning, almost saying that at the outset, maybe let us try not to reflect on this solely now from the legal perspective, but let us see what do we have, what is the current position, and what does it say in respect of all those crucial issues that have been mentioned by the honourable members of this committee. I think in particular called Professor Churok, taking a very, very strong position together with some of the other members on this issue. So can we then reflect on that single page report? That is the extract of Section 15 coming from the National Gambling Act. So this is the current law telling us what is the position in respect of advertising with regard to all forms of gambling, not interactive gambling, but all forms of gambling. And can we maybe have a look at the heading of the section? It says restrictions on advertising and promotion of gambling activities. And then specifically, Section 15.1, that says a person must not advertise or promote and then in A, in a false or misleading manner. But then more importantly, in that little Romans 2, must not advertise or promote. Paragraph B, a gambling activity other than an amusement game in a manner intended to target or attract minors. We will recall that a very strong position was taken in respect of advertising as related to minors. So here we can see in the current law there is a provision singling out specifically minors. Can we just go a bit lower down to the sub 2 of the same section, which says that any advertisement of a gambling machine or device, a gambling activity, or licensed premises and the rest, and then in A, must include a statement in the prescribed manner and form, warning against the dangers of addictive and compulsive. So these are the important restrictions that we currently find in respect of advertising. If any advertisement is being placed or displayed, then the warning must be there. Warning against the obvious dangers of addictive and compulsive gambling. Why I've done this test is that we can't just read with respect the amendment book in isolation on this issue. If we see this, then we see the current law, and then we can turn to the amendment and see how does it change or amend what we have in now. I will then turn to the amendment, which is in our D bill, or 31D, and it is on page 8 of the bill. There it is, it's Clause 15, coincidentally as well. Clause 15, page 8 of our T-Roll. We will recall clearly that the previous amendments, the amendments that were in fact effected by this Honourable Committee, had in this clause simply a provision saying that advertising, saying that irrespective of what we read in Section 15 of the Principal Act, that advertising in respect of interactive gambling would be banned. It was unqualified, That is the amendment that we were then confronted with in the other committee, that we had to obtain legal opinion on and then to come up with a stance as to how we can get to this amendment. So this is the amendment before the committee this morning. And how does it change what we've looked at in Section 15 of the Principal Act? Everything remains the same. Everything that we've read in Section 15 of the current Act remains the same, save for the underlying portion that we have in this clause 15. The first one I will even refer to say as merely an insertion of a website, which is a consequential amendment to the introduction of the Act of Gambling. So that one cuts no ice. But there is the second one, which is underlined. So this is a new insertion. That the minister may, that is existing, by regulation in accordance with Section 87, and here is the insertion, prescribe the manner and form for interactive gambling advertising. So it is a ministerial power to prescribe the manner and form for interactive gambling advertising only. The minister would not have this power in respect of the other forms of gambling. This ministerial power solely applies in respect of interactive gambling. Now, we will recall during our extensive debate that one of the main arguments that was advanced by the department in putting forward the constitutional issues and the matters of law surrounding this matter was that if Parliament would go about and simply slap a ban on interactive gambling only, then the first issue that would arise would be that it would be discriminatory. Why interactive gambling and not the others? Where is the justification for distinguishing between them, and where is the difference in essence between those activities? So, why I'm referring to discrimination again is that in a sense we must concede that even this amendment as it stands is at least to some extent discriminatory, because it gives the ministerial power to a political functionary to prescribe the manner and form of interactive gambling advertising. Why only them and not the others? So if we're on the issue of discrimination, what we're having here might already be, to some extent, discriminatory. I'm getting closer to concluding on my part for the time being, Chair, save for saying the following. So what we as a department would like the Honourable Committee to respectfully consider this morning is, from a policy perspective, even from a political perspective, from a moral perspective, from an ethical perspective, we cannot disagree, and we will never attempt to do so, with the issues that have been raised by the Honourable Committee. But we are confronted with a matter of law, and we cannot be blind to that. What we would like to ask is this. Let us properly reflect on Section 15 as it stands in the current Act. Let us accept that even that provision is restricted in a number of sections. And let us also accept that this amendment is even more restrictive and might even be seen in some quarters as being discriminatory in any event. We would like to, with great humility and with the greatest of respect, would like to submit that my there is an honest belief within the DEI that on the basis of considerations of policy, that somewhere in the near future, advertising, as was done many years ago in respect of smoking, that advertising in respect of gambling in general, not in the act of gambling, in general, should be revisited in an equitable, fair, open and non-discriminatory manner, and that the department should then come up with a policy stance and submit that to Parliament. Chair, allow me to leave it at that just for the time being. I think in fairness to Mr. Mongameli, they've gone through the trouble to prepare a written document in this regard, and you might seek the opportunity to speak on that matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chair. Chair, we looked at this particular provision, Chair, that they need advertising in interactive gambling. Chair, we'd like to state that to bring this particular issue in perspective, Chair, is that in terms of the current legislation, the Fiscal Act, gambling, advertising in gambling, Chair, is not prohibited. There are just conditions that are set there on how to go about advertising in gambling, Chair. Chair, the bill, Chair, the amendment bill, in clause 15, Chair, it provides for the minister to prescribe a manner and form for interactive gambling advertising, Chair. Therefore, Chair, on the one hand, Chair, we have, if this particular provision, Chair, is not inserted in this particular bill, Chair, it is our submission, Chair, that we have a situation where, on the one hand, we have gambling, Chair, one type of gambling where advertising is allowed, and on the other hand, we have another form of gambling where advertising is not allowed, and based on the same legislation, Chair. Therefore, Chair, we would like to highlight to the committee, Chair, that there could be a danger of a challenge, Chair, based on the Constitution, Chair, which says that everyone is equal before the law and has a right to equal protection and benefits of the law. So I would like to highlight that to the committee, Chair, that we should guard against a constitutional challenge that we have same people in the same gambling industry, and there are others who are not treated equally than the others. Furthermore, Chair, the Constitution does state that everyone has a right to freedom of trade and free economic giving, Chair. So it is our submission, Chair, that we must guard against violating this particular provision that says that everyone has a right to freedom of trade and freedom of and free economic activity. And further, Chair, in the Constitution, we have certain ministry that says that everyone has a right to fair legal practices, Chair. So, Chair, it is my submission that the provision permitting advertising on interactive gambling should remain, Chair, to guard against any constitutional challenge that may arise, Chair, from other people in the same industry that may say that we are in the same industry and others are allowed to advertise, we are not allowed to advertise, Chair. So, Chair, I would like to advise the committee, Chair, to consider the particular aspect of the danger of a constitutional challenge, Chair, that everyone must be treated equally before the law, and not have the benefit of the protection and benefit of the law, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Am I correct in concluding that in regard to the sure court case, that the law, the provision as it stands in the Principal Act,
and that by inserting this that bears the reference facilities to interact access gambling, that would open up to legal challenge.
Alright, so is it the principal take this stance here as little gambling in general, and then the this particular provision here addresses it and talks about interactive gambling. Okay. That's really on the other
point. I understood you correctly.
I was sure I am in a corporate consensus. Because the Honorable Edward comes here and says, look, we stand the chance to be challenged. The question one is asking why we have amendments. I'm not trying to do this amendment to avoid those legal challenges at the end of the day. Now we move from the initial amendment to this latest one now, which is much softer than the initial clause we first debated. We must also stress that we have stated in no uncertain terms in previous engagements that there were in a sense some confusion that people thought that this is a new act, whereas this amendment is a principal act, because the question of gambling was an ongoing thing. However, the whole question of focus fell on the question of mining. Now, I'm not so sure, Chair, how on earth we are going to monitor and control this particular process. Currently, they say children under 16 are not allowed to buy cigarettes, never mind them smoking. You go to the shops, children are buying cigarettes. Miners are not allowed to use alcohol, they do this. How do we monitor these things? Today, with this modern technology, we have this little thing. We have computers at schools. We locked in our, for those parents who don't have enough money. We have laptops for their kids. They locked into a room, so they engage in all sorts of things. Right across the world. And you walk in the street, you have this little wireless connector. You can gamble. Where's your mother and your father? Where is the law? Where is the minister or the police for that matter? So I just want us to be very clear and realistic in our approach to this particular thing. Because we can put all sorts of constraints in the law. The monitoring effect will be the problem at the end of the day. And I would say that, Chair, I'm not so sure that we will be able to soften this particular amendment more than it currently is. So it's a question of and therefore can separate the Lord, hallelujah. But at the end of the day, there's nothing else you can do. Because whatever's happening in this world, children are going to get engagement. We're having sex, children are having sex in the toilet of the malls now, and they've been videotaped about this thing, through this particular thing. So how, where's the control? And those are the kind of things that we need to understand as the real world. So, Chair, I'm just saying that I can't see how we can stop this any further. If the legal people are telling us, even with this, we are open to legal challenges, and I'm not too sure what more they are, then I am telling you, it will be different effect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mentally is coming. Yeah. If I, good folks, perhaps you'd like to respond to the comments of members, then after that,
thank you, Chair. I think, following from what Mr. Quayle has said, particularly to the restrictions, one needs to turn further into current legislation, into the regulation, where it specifies primarily the concerns that were raised by members. It has certain restrictions which the advertisement may not have. I'm just going to read about three of them. Advertising in respect of gambling must not exhaust gambling as a means of recovering past gambling or other financial losses. Contain claims or representations that persons who gamble are guaranteed personal, financial, or social success. Gambling is an alternative to employment or means of acquiring financial security. Further down, it goes to say it shall not advertise in a target market of under 18. Going further to provincial legislation further says, over and above all these restrictions, each advertisement that is seen or shall appear within the Republic of South Africa relating to gambling shall be approved by the provincial licensing authority, and it shall use its discretion in applying additional measures which it sees to be of negative consequences resulting from that gambling. So currently, as we speak, to add to the honorable member's issue saying, currently, if we are saying things should happen as they are happening, what is it that we have to contain it? In my own opinion, I think the restrictions themselves are quite fundamental in covering these aspects that were raised. There are about 11 of them which are here, although I've read about three, but they cover a number of these issues that they've been talked about. And again, for the provincial licensing authority is going to look at the advert and apply its mind and say, no, we are of the opinion that it has an impact on the targeted people from the perspective of the issues of morality that have been raised by the House. Thank you.
You're referring to, I just want to make sure I've got your reference. What were you referring to right now?
I was referring to current regulations which are currently developed, which is the National Gambling Regulation. It's stage 5 of the regulation 3, which says advertisement. I don't think members have but it is part of current regulation.
Yeah, it would be useful to ensure that we have a copy of that, so that when the matter comes up in next Friday, members have referred to that. So then there's ease on that aspect. This is why I wanted that reference, so that members can go and look at that and in their speeches highlight it. Because right now the popular perception is that has either been forgotten or it's at the back of the mind. Nobody knows that there are all those
that
I've been current. Yes. We simply have to make it available to all of them, not later than Monday, at the latest. I just want to be doubly sure. So, what you are saying is that it will not make sense to have this current. In regard to, I'm speaking to B31D, that verse, and then under section 15, the portion that has been underlined. So the best route is not to open ourselves to legal terms, but to keep them out.
May I say, before I do that, just in fairness to the Honourable Mr. Markey,
the permutations are not many. You either say that there should be advertising and promotion of gambling in general on a free-for-all basis, no streams attached. Or you say, at the other extreme of the spectrum, that there will simply be a ban on gambling in general in an unqualified manner. Or you go for something in between. Saying that free-for-all advertising in respect of gambling is for a host of reasons is totally undesirable and therefore should be restricted as far as the law provides. And it is that little position that we have adopted and that we would like to put to this committee. So we've got the restrictions in the Principal Act. We've got the restrictions in the subordinate legislation, the regulations that have been made in terms of the Principal Act that we will make available to the members straight away. We should have. And then we've got this added to the amendment and said this is where I think we just need to get clarity. The previous amendment that was embodied in this section 50 was the blanket prohibition. It is there no more. We would like to propose that the committee would consider to adopt this amendment as it stands in the bill at the moment. So including a further extension in respect of interactive gambling. So we respectfully submit that would be, it would be unassailable in law, that it would be sustainable. And by doing so, the committee would apart from, or Parliament would apart from, the other restrictions that apply in any event, add the further restriction in respect of interactive gambling. So the proposition at this stage, that clause 15 as it stands at the moment in the D bill, should be adopted.
So there's the agreement that clause 15 as it is be adopted, and members agree to this.
Jeff, at this point, just for to safeguard ourselves, that we can recommend that 31D be adopted as it is. Without a quorum, we can't fully adopt it as it is. But that we
how many members do you need?
We have
and we are five here. Where can we get three? putting it out the next time, say somebody else comes
in.
Yeah. Yes. Just drag three. Yes. Go and get the DA to so, good talks, if you can kindly indulge me yet again, whilst we try and get the recruited number so that we can bury this thing for once and for all.
These following clauses are available, I would assume, that relate to Section 14. So they were 449. If you look at page 3 of 31C, in all those elements of clauses, they would relate to Section 14.
They relate to the different type of license.
out there, we can process it along with it.
Yeah, actually very technical, I think, in nature, and simply provide for different types of licenses, where you could have seen we did it, like that differentiation, and I'm sure maybe the player can quickly do that.
Yeah, Taylor, I think it would be unfair to the committee if we had to. The amendment on advertising can be seen in isolation. The most of the other are interrelated or intertwined. Allow me very briefly to say the very first amendment, clause 1, on page 2 of the CBO. That amendment, in the CBO, the definition of an interactive gambling license only referred to an interactive gambling operator license and an interactive gambling employment license. Now, clearly, that is wrong. There are other licenses as well. So the definition has to be widened or broadened so that it captures all the licenses that we find in this field. And those licenses are on page 12 of the D bill, of the 31D for day. Page 12. Clause 26, there we see all the different licenses. Clause 26, the middle of the page, an interactive gambling operator license, a license as a manufacturer, supplier or maintenance provider of interactive gambling software and equipment, and in B, an interactive gambling employment license. So if we now read the amended definition, it will encompass all these licenses. And then, Chair, it becomes very simple from there on. The two amendments in Clause 3 and Clause 4 of the CBOM, Clause 3 and 4, they've got exactly the same principle, and that is that if we refer to the DBOM again, page 4 of the DBOM, page 4 of the label, it's just below line 10, it's clause number 3, it relates to a section 2. This act applies to all gambling activities. The previous bill was saying all gambling activities licensed within the Republic. The necessary implication of that would be that unlicensed activities would then not find the application of this bill. Simply an oversight. Clearly, we would like this bill to apply to all forms of gambling activity, maybe particularly to those that are unlicensed. So that is simply the reason why the word license has been taken away from there. The next one is clause 10. It's simply the insertion of the word facilitate. That one we find in our DBOM. In the middle of the page is page 6 of our DBOM. The heading is unauthorized interactive gambling unlawful. The person was not engaged in, and now we insert facilitate. Because to engage in a gambling activity does not necessarily mean or you can facilitate a gambling activity without engaging in that activity. So once again, it has to be broadened to make the offence, this is an offence, clear that whether you engage in the activity or whether you facilitate such engagement, that would equally be an offence. Chair, for the rest, on page 3 of our CBOM, all those clauses there, from 19 right to the bottom of the page, 50, they are all purely consequential to the very first amendment related license. They cut no ice. On the last page, page 4, I must apologize, it was an oversight on our part. All new insertions in the principal act have to be underlined. These underlined portions that we see here were not underlined
I feel like that man in the Bible who had a party and nobody turned up. And he had to go to the street corner and take anybody who was available. Let's just give us another 10 minutes. So if we fail, then we should have to take it up next week. When is our first week?
I want to check the list of committees to the other members. Now we've got the whole of Parliament here.
Good folks, I wish to thank the honorable members who have joined us. We have more than a quorum now. My committee plaque has disappeared with the motion of desirability. But what I will say is that I now read the motion of desirability. And this particular meeting adopts the proceedings, and I'll sign the motion of desirability as soon as he brings the emergency comes back. I thank everyone. It is not a good day, my dear. Committee, there's a mover. Dr. Rabi second. Thank you very much, good folks. To those who arrived just now, I was saying earlier to members that I felt like that good person in the Bible who organized a party and none of the important guests arrived. So they had to go out on the street corners and invite everybody. I owe you. I will remember that.
Yes.
Thank you.
There's a special thanks to the chairperson of Public Works. She has asked for an
adjournment of the meeting.
Yeah, an adjournment of the meeting.
Thank you very much. I always knew she had an international experience. Good folks, thank you very much to the department and to all members of the meeting. Stand adjourned. And then I'll just type the relevant papers. State law advisors, stakeholders, thank you very much. So the process, I was told by Mr. Sam Lowe's office, it will be in Parliament on Friday, that's not the same.
Thank you. to